This is a podcast from Cambridge Assessment. For more downloads, visit cambridgeassessment.org.uk.
Dr. Victoria Elliott of the Warwick Institute of Education, thank you very much indeed for talking to the Cambridge Assessment podcast series today. We're here looking at how examiners reach their judgments. Tell me a little bit about what you've been researching and why.
I've been looking at the way that examiners of History and English A-level reach their decisions. One of the reasons behind that is because of the potential drive to mark scripts using a computer program. And one of the arguments has been that we know how examiners make their judgments, but we don't know how computers are doing it, or they're using proxies. And my argument was, we don't know how examiners are reaching their judgments, so I want to see how a good examiner reaches their judgment on a script.
And you did come up with quite a lively title for your presentation. You tell the listeners.
The title was Cognitive Cherry Picking: The Patchwork Process of Examining A-Level Essays.
And why did you use that patchwork metaphor all the way through? Your presentation began with a photograph of patchwork quilts that you do at home, but yet you applied that patchwork process to the assessment of examinations, a very serious subject.
It is a very serious subject, but I think that there are a lot of strengths in that metaphor. It's partly because of my English teaching background, where we take a metaphor and we beat it to death. But I think it's very important to think of the idea that we're taking pieces of theory from different fields and we are bringing them together in an education context. And that is very much like making a patchwork quilt and creating an interesting whole out of pieces taken from different places.
So just tell me a little bit about how you went about your test. How did you gather your research group together?
Well, I was very lucky in that I was given access to some examiners of A-level through one of the main awarding bodies, and they allowed me to approach various people to ask them to participate. So what I went to do was to go to several standardisation meetings for examiners of history and English, and I recorded lots of sessions, and I also had some examiners who very kindly did what we call think aloud or verbal protocol analysis recordings for me, which is literally where you think aloud while you're doing something and you say everything that's going through your head. So that's kind of how I got my data.
And what kind of questions did you ask them?
I didn't ask many questions. The idea is that you just do what you would normally do and you vocalise what you are doing while you do it. So the idea is that I'm not prodding them at all. I'm studying what they would be doing under normal circumstances. It's just they're doing it out loud.
So it's like a stream of consciousness?
Yes, exactly like a stream of consciousness.
Okay, so just tell me what you were testing for. What did you go out curious about, thinking, I bet if I study this a bit more and dig down, I'm going to find X, Y, and Z?
I think that the one main expectation I had was that they would not be doing a rational, rule-based application of mark scheme to script and coming up with an answer.
And was that true?
Yes, that was true. They were not doing that. They were doing all sorts of other things of great variety.
Now, that might say to me as a parent or someone taking the exam, if they're not following the rules, I can't trust my test mark. Is that true?
It's absolutely not true. I think one of the interesting things is that human brains are very individual, and these are people who are using the most appropriate cognitive process, the most appropriate bit of information, to come up with an accurate grade. And it is parallel to the mark scheme. It is the standard from the mark scheme, but they are using a more cognitively economical approach to reach that same judgment.
Well, let's come up with some of your phrases from your presentation. The role of comparison, the role of representativeness. Let's take comparison. That was a word that you kept coming back to, that we all compare and we all think by comparing, looking at our own frameworks, we're sort of implementing the rules in a fairly rigorous way.
Yes, comparison is very important. All examiners compare all the time, and they will compare within and between scripts, and they're constantly using that comparison to check decisions, to make decisions, and to ensure that everyone's getting the right result for their particular script.
Comparison is important, but is it the sort of driver of how examiners look at an exam script and think, yeah, I've done that one properly because it's more or less the same as the one before and something I did last year? Are they comparing with what they've marked before, the work they've done before, or just comparing like with like in this set of exam papers?
They compare with a variety of different things. They're comparing within the context of the individual module, the specific module, so they're not comparing with their kind of general experience. they're comparing with their experience of this exam at this time, and they compare with the exemplar mark material that they've had from the senior examiners, and then they start to compare with their own previous marking. They're essentially building up a big discourse where all the different scripts are kind of entering into a conversation with one another, if you like, and they're comparing all those different scripts to see where they sit relative to that and relative to the marks game.
What about that word representativeness? That came into your presentation a lot.
Yes, representativeness is a really important cognitive heuristic. It's about, which is like a rule of thumb, a guideline for a rough and ready decision making process. And representativeness is the extent to which something kind of feels like or looks like the category in which it belongs. So the question is, does the script feel like it's worth full marks? Does it kind of look like something which is a 17? And that's something which is reflected in all sorts of different approaches to marking, and lots of different theories come back to this idea of what does it feel like it is.
And do people build a framework around those concepts of comparison, representativeness?
Yes, absolutely. I would say that they do. There's the idea of mental frameworks where you kind of have a structure that's being built in your head, and initially you populate it with the exemplar material you've had, and you are essentially taking each script at a time and you're kind of going, where does it feel like this fits into my structure? The idea of prototypes, which comes from psychology, which are kind of mental images of likely pattern responses, and that's how it feels to me like examiners are making decisions. They're seeing this as a large structure into which they're fitting each individual answer.
And there are those human factors that come in. People mark a few papers after they've done so many, say 20, they think, yeah, I know where this one fits in the marking framework of the English paper this year or the maths paper this year. And then they think, well, perhaps if it just done this, if his spelling had been a bit better, if it handwriting had been a bit better, the what if factor, you called it, where people go back and look and think, well, should we mark this one a little bit higher?
Yes, I think the what if factor is key in the training stage in a way, because they're looking for hard and fast rules to follow about what should they do with a particular script. And there are a lot of these questions of what if it did this, what if it just did a little bit better, would it be worth many more marks? And these questions are answered in a variety of different ways by their team leaders. Some of them say, I'm not going to give you a hard and fast answer on that, which I think is very healthy.
Well, if we then come back to that weaving tapestry analogy that you had, you said that examiners have all these different elements that go into marking papers, and there's a number of different approaches, but actually it makes and weaves into a holistic fabric, a piece that you can trust and rely on. Is that right?
Yes, I think that's a very good summary of exactly what I said. That essentially they are taking different pieces of cognitive processes, different things that they can do, and each individual takes a different set that works best for them. So from the outside, it's very hard to see what's going on the inside, but they're weaving together these different things.
And so we can accept those different approaches. They are reliable, and the decision-making is fair.
The important thing to remember is that reliability and quality control is an external thing. It is something which is done to the scripts after they have been marked, and those things are checked. What I'm saying is we don't need to regulate the inside of people's heads to trust what they have done. Two people are producing the same result. They may be reaching it by different routes, but they are still getting to the same destination.
And what does your research, Dr. Victoria Elliott, mean for the examination process, for assessment in the exam boards, and also for the examiners marking the scripts and the teachers in the classroom?
I don't think it means very much for any of those reasons, to be honest. I think it's very important that we do know what examiners are doing and to have a proper understanding of that. The one thing that I would say is that it has been very clear that the sample scripts, the standardisation scripts, are very important, and the selection of those papers is one of the most important things in the training process.
So do you think we know more now about how examiners reach their judgments, and we'll need to sort of tinker around the edges of what they do to make it more consistent?
I don't think that that is the implication of my research at all. Mine is one of many studies that are being done, because when you work with examiners you can only do very small scale studies, and so this is one of many things that's building together to create a larger body of evidence about what examiners do.
And one of the other things you spoke of was the importance of affect. Can you explain that to us?
Yes, affect is the kind of the emotional component of cognition. And what was very interesting was examiners who were having very strong emotive affect reactions to scripts. They were having sympathy, or we had one rater who tutted every time and went, but they would then accompany that with a statement saying that their strong emotional reaction was not going to impact on the decision that they made, and that they were following the correct procedures to get a score.
So when you look at your art tapestry, it makes a whole.
I think so, yes.
Dr. Victoria Elliott of Warwick Institute of Education, thank you very much indeed for talking to the Cambridge Assessment podcast series today. How do examiners reach judgments? I've learned so much.
Thank you.
This is a podcast from Cambridge Assessment. For more downloads, visit cambridgeassessment.org.uk.